good to have a bunch of kids in the church, isn't it? Of course, it gets kind of thin. Now, you people in the back are going to have to move down front. Well, there's Anna. I didn't see her before, but now I see. She's right there. All right. Praise the Lord. Well, it's Father's Day. It's Father's Day. See all you fathers going back to the back, so amen. All right. I want to let's just stop right now. I want to pray for our fathers. The ones who remain, they're standing. The ones who remain, I'd like you to, if you're a father, if you have an adopted or a natural child that you have been raising or raised and finished, I would like you to stand just for so we can pray. Amen. So, if you have a natural, if you have raised children, or somebody's children, hallelujah. Lord, we thank you right now for these men. We thank you for these men, Lord, because you have used them to bring lives into this world so that they might hear the gospel and become men of God and become children of God, people of God, daughters and sons. Father, I pray for them and I thank you for them and I ask you to bless them tremendously. Lord, give them strength, give them rest, give them peace, prosper them, cause them to walk according to your word, and cause them to hear your voice. Father, we thank you that fathers need fathers. Fathers need a father, the Father in heaven, to speak to them even after their children are raised so that they can wisely give counsel. Father, we thank you for the ones with the white hair that you honored, and you said they are to be honored because of the wisdom that they have received both from you and from living in this world with you and hearing you. And even life experience itself, because you even create life experience which causes us to know that there is a God, to know that there is a kingdom of heaven that we must search for. So I bless them and I ask you to give them a tremendous, great encouragement today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Well, let's open our Bibles to, first of all, Matthew chapter 5. Some of these days that we create, some of these holidays that we create are created by the greeting card companies. Amen. Certainly Mother's Day and Father's Day are great examples of those things. And you think Hallmark created it. But how powerful it is to have that day set aside to honor an institution, to honor an individual and an office that God put in place. Amen? God put in place the office of father, and God had put in place the office of mother. He put in place these offices. These are creations of God. It's like marriage. It's creation of God. Son is an office. Daughter is an office. Meaning, you are born into that. If you're a daughter, you're a daughter. If you're a son, you're a son. You stand in that office. I stand in several offices. You know, I'm husband, father, grandfather, believe it or not. Yeah, really. Yeah, you can't tell, but yeah. And so husband, father, grandfather, and son. Amen? And so all of these are offices because those are relationships that I navigate and that I have that God gave them to me. They're all gifts. Amen? These are all gifts. Mother, daughter, granddaughter, you know, all of these are gifts that God has given you. So take these offices to the Lord and ask Him how you're going to navigate those. How are you going to live with those? Because those relationships are very close to you. It's been said that government that governs close is the most important government to you. Guess what? The government that God created as your family was the very first government that God created. Amen? First of all, He created the government between me and Him. Then He created the government between me and my wife. Then He created the government between me and my wife and my children. And so all of these relationships are working outward. So if you don't have a right relationship inwardly, if you don't have a right relationship within your family, you cannot have a right relationship within the church. Then we go out to the church, we go out to the civil government. You cannot have those right relationships unless your relationships are right at home. And the reason we say that, now you hear people talking about relationships. It sounds so flowery and so sweet, and books about relationships. So, well, what does that have to do with God? Because God is all about a relationship, isn't He? I mean, God does not want to just rule you like over a dog. Amen? You know, you're not His pet cow or, you know, His pet rabbit. You are His daughters and His sons, and He desires to walk with you and to love you and to have a relationship with you. He's not trying to get you to do something right. He's out for your benefit and your blessing. He created the entire creation just for, first of all, Adam. Then He said, be fruitful and make more. He said, make more of you. Amen? He put everything with its seed in itself. I always think that's a great scripture is in the very beginning, in the book of Genesis. It talks about how He put everything, had its seed within itself to produce. And that includes us, right? I mean, you know, obviously we created quite a few children around here. Some more than others, Craig. Some more than others. But God has put the seed within itself. All those trees, all those bushes, all those mosquitoes, you know, the seeds are within themselves, right? Everybody say, thank God for the mosquitoes. There's got to be some reason. I think part of it was he was motivating us to create air conditioning and go inside. So, I mean, everything's got something good going on after it. So those relationships that God has and has created are for us, first of all, to have that relationship with Him and to disperse that relationship with someone else. So that everyone who is born into this world has an opportunity to have a relationship with the Father. Okay, now let's look at Matthew chapter 5. And of course, you know, when Jesus is beginning, he talks to his primary audience is the Jews, right? His primary audience in Matthew is to the Jews. He is coming as the King of the Jews. And he's talking here in the Sermon on the Mount. And let's look first at... And I put Matthew 5, and I didn't put where I'm going to start. All right. Okay, verse 43. Look at verse 43. Matthew 5, 43. You have heard it has been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I, Jesus says, I say to you, love your enemies and bless them which curse you and do good to them that hate you and pray for them which despitefully use you. You probably just turned off right there. Now I can't preach anymore, you know, because you don't like that part. Well, let's just keep moving. I won't even try to... That's not the one I'm going to get today. Pray for those which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father. They're not used to hearing about God in the context of a father. The Jews are not used to hearing someone talk about God, the God of heaven, Yahweh, the God, the Creator, in the context of being their father. This is new. This is an introduction of God in a whole new way to a people who have known God for 4,000 years. All right? And so this is a new way that Jesus is bringing, and of course Jesus, being the only begotten Son of God, that is, the one who was given a body to redeem us and to bring us into the presence of God. He says that you may be, this is evidence that you are the children of your Father, which is in heaven, if you love your enemies and bless them that despitefully use you and curse you. And so all of these things, when we bring that in, we become, this is God showing us that's how He feels toward us. We are no longer enemies of God, even though we sometimes like to think we are. There are so many people who just do not want anything to do with God because they think He's out to, you know, get rid of their fun. when he's actually out to save them and deliver them from themselves. And when we have our children, now that's one of the things we're doing with them, is saving them from themselves. Right? Don't go across that street. And the third time they try to go across the street, you will take the rod and you will encourage them not to cross the street. We'll talk about that in a minute. But God's desire is that you stay safe. God's desire is that you stay whole and you receive every bit of His provision in this world. That's why He came. That's why He created. That's why He created this plan of salvation, this plan of redemption. So that you might be children of your Father. Those you're loving your enemies, you are children of your Father again. This is a new concept, which is in heaven. For He makes the sun to rise on evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. God even sends rain, and it's needed, on the unjust farmer's farm. Well, I wouldn't do that if I was God. I'd drive that guy out. Give the guy next to him twice as much. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Don't even the publicans, the tax collectors, the same? And if you salute your brothers only, what do you more than others? Don't even the tax collectors? The tax collectors were bad guys. Be you therefore perfect, holy, separate, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. That is perfect. The word perfect is mature or separated. Also perfect, holy, is separated. Separated from the world. Now, I'm just going to read quickly through a few of these. Chapter 6. Take heed that you do not your alms or your giving before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when you do your alms, don't sound a trumpet, or as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, that they may have glory of men. Skip to verse 4. That your alms may be in secret, and your Father which sees in secret shall reward you. Shall what? Reward you openly. Down to verse 6. But when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you have shut your door, pray to who? Pray to your Father, which is in secret. And your Father, which sees in secret, shall reward you openly. Verse 8. Be not you like, therefore, to the hypocrites, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask Him. And after this manner pray, Jesus begins to introduce them to the concept of praying to our Father, which is in heaven. Again, we're so used to it, right? Our Father, which art in heaven. You could all just say it, and not think another thing about it. But our Father, which art in heaven. Verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Verse 17, but when you fast, anoint your face and wash your face, that you appear not to men to fast, but to your Father which is in secret. And your Father which sees in secret shall reward thee openly. All right, we're not going to preach on fasting today. But the concept I want you to get right now is, first of all, the new concept that the Jewish people were receiving from Jesus was the fact that they had a Father in heaven. Brand new idea. See, you're having to break down those stereotypes, and we have them in the church, don't we? We have them in the church because we had fathers. The Word talks about in Hebrews chapter 12, we had fathers who who punished us or chastened us for their own pleasure. That is, go flip the channel on the TV and get me another beer. You didn't do it. You caught the backside of my hand by accident. And, we have fathers who just for no other reason than you didn't do what they said. But God our Father is the Father who loves us, and His desire is to do everything for us and to come into our hearts, come into our lives, and transform us and give us those gifts. Amen? All right, now look at Luke chapter 15. Now, you expected this one today, right? I'm going to read this story, and then you guys know it, so And Jesus is preaching the parables, and he begins to say, verse 11, chapter 15 of Luke, and he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' And he divided to them his living, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, where he wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a great famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he fain would have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave to him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and am no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no more worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring here the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and make merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' They began to make merry." Okay, I'm going to stop there for a minute. Now we have this son, and I found it interesting that the word prodigal does not mean lost. I like to use if you're looking up words in the Old Testament, in the King James Version of the Bible especially, I'd recommend to you to get an 1828 dictionary. You can get it online. It's no big deal. You just log into it. And so you look up the 1828 Webster's Dictionary, and how many know 1828 is a lot closer to 1611 than 2014? Huh? I say, just nod your head. You can do the math. All right? 1828 has much more of the language still available for the usages that were, even though it's 200 years down the road, for us it's 200 years back. It's 400 years down the road. So those words, a lot of those word usages were still in use or at least still in the dictionary. Some of them you can't even find them in the current dictionary. You know, so many of the words these days I wouldn't even trust Webster's to know what a word meant today. You know, they change all kinds of things, don't they? And so the word prodigal actually means extravagant or to excess. That's what the word prodigal actually means, is extravagant or to excess. And so when we read the prodigal son, you know, of course they put it at the top of the page, they really don't say it in here. They don't say it in the text, but they have it at the top of the page. So that prodigal son is the one who's actually the one who is extravagant, more than enough extravagant. In other words, wasteful, right? Now, in other words, not as much loss as just unwise, without understanding, without wisdom. And so he has this son who decides he's going to go off and take the part of his living and go try his wings out and head out and about. Now you wonder about the father, because the father, you know, had two sons. And if we read the rest of the story, we obviously find that the one son, and the story we usually hear about the one son is that, you know, he's the righteous son in behavior, but in his own mind, he's the righteous son. This your son went off and spent all of your money, talking about his younger brother, and I have stayed here and I have done all the work and I have earned every bit of this. And we come to find out that the dad probably had issues raising both sons. Amen? One determined that the guy just didn't have the sense to do things that a normal person would do. So you take your money and you go do those things. Then we had another guy who was the older son, which was the obedient son, but he was bitter on the inside. Amen? So he's bitter. So we have two sons, but we have one dad. And where's the dad? And number one, you've got a dad who has raised two now adult sons. And I've done that. And some of you have done that. And you have these sons. You have these sons. How many know you aren't the same man that you were when you began? Amen? When you had that first little baby, you know, like Jordan's got that new little baby, my son. He's got that new little baby girl, you know. He doesn't have a clue. You know, he doesn't have a clue about raising no babies. And, you know, Craig's going to raise this next boy. That's not a word from the Lord. At least not that I'm sure of. He's going to raise this next one different than he raised Sadie. Amen? Not that Sadie turned dead. Sadie's great. But he's going to raise her. He's going to raise this child differently. Because he knows the Lord in a different way, more than he knew the Lord when he first started raising children. This dad knew things later than he knew at the beginning. Anybody say amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. You got to thank God for that. You got to thank God that you didn't know everything. See, God was busy teaching you as a father. I'm talking to dads. Moms can glean from this. But you're going to hear the Lord as you walk and as you raise your children. Remember over in Deuteronomy, the scripture that we read when we're dedicating or when we're graduating the children, and I guess we could do it when you're dedicating the children over in chapter 6. What's he say? And these words I command you this day, Deuteronomy 6, they shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently, these words. You shall teach them diligently to your children and talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lay down and when you rise up, and you shall bind them for a sign upon your hands, and they shall be as frontlets right there in front of your face, in your eyes. And you shall write them upon the posts of your house and upon your gates. So you're going to raise these young people up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And so, but you don't know everything yet. So what I want you to do today is just to relax and rest and rejoice and thank God that you didn't do everything right. Amen? You didn't do everything right. Some of you are guilty because you didn't do everything right. Amen? I wasn't here on Mother's Day, so some of you moms, you're guilty because you didn't do everything right. Give it up. Give it up. God's desire for you right now is to be completely free. You know, and just as, you know, Barbara said this morning, that your parents, you're just like your parents, the ones who were, well, they didn't do it quite right, or boy, he was mean, or boy, she used to say things that were just, you know, let it go, because that's what God did with you. How many know God forgave you? God forgave you. You're done. You're forgiven. Say it. I'm forgiven. Okay, now, let that down. God forgave you that great debt. You remember the story. God forgave you that great debt, and you're going out holding mom or dad by the throat and saying, okay, mom or dad, you really messed it up, and I'm going to hold you responsible for it even after you're dead. You know, even your memory, I'm going to keep. I may not tell anybody else, but I know. I know. So what you do is you go in and you forgive right now. Okay, I'm not going to say another word till you forgive. We might be here a long time. Amen. Just forgive them right now. I can't. Lie. Nonsense. You can't. Do it. You forgive them. I didn't say you should feel like it. I said just do it. Just forgive your mom. Forgive your dad right now. Just forgive them, because God commanded you to, and He has already forgiven you. Amen. So you let them go. You know, who's in bondage if you don't let them go? Especially if they're dead. If they're dead, they're not worried about you. Amen. Who's in bondage now? You are. And who does that? It's the enemy. It's the devil. He's trying to keep you bound up and unable to perform, unable to do anything if you're walking in, if you're living in unforgiveness. Amen? So you let him go. Jesus on the cross, he's nailed up there with nails in his hands, in his feet. What did he say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. How about you? Father, forgive my dad. Forgive my mom. They don't know what, they didn't know what they were doing. So you let them go. Amen? You let them go. You let them go right now. You know what? You'll be free. You'll be free. Now the enemy will come and try to say, you can't forgive them. Just remember what they did. It's like when the devil comes and reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. Amen? See, you're free. You're totally free. And you're free to forgive. You're absolutely free to forgive. And this dad was free to forgive. Amen? This dad was free to forgive. Maybe in a day earlier, maybe in a time earlier, he would not have been. But he raised that son. He's done. He's finished. You have to stop raising kids at some point. Amen? You can't rule them. You can't rule them forever. You got to let them go. You got to let them go and put them under God. You're stealing from your wife, guys. You're stealing from your other children, maybe who are still at home. Amen. I know what I'm talking about. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let them go. That doesn't mean you don't love them. Doesn't mean you don't, you know, you still have something to share with them. You have, as a man of God. As a man of God, you have something to share. You have the good news to share. You have the gospel to share. You have the love of God to share with those individuals. But there, it's as a brother. It's man to man. Or man to daughter. Yeah, these things are important to share, but it's no longer as a child who's going to obey you. Talking to fathers. Amen? You can't twist people into submission just like you can't do your co-workers or your natural brothers and sisters. You know, and once that child is up, he's just like one of your natural brothers and sisters. They are part of your family, but you cannot rule them. How many guys and girls who you have a brother or a sister, you just can't figure them out, and you don't know why they went the way they went, but they're just, you know. But you can't do, you're not doing anything. You can't do anything about that. You can pray for them. You can share with them. Your relationship with them is going to be the same as it is with your adult child. Amen? Praise the Lord. Because you want to let them make, they're going to have to make their decisions. Those children are going to have to make their decisions. He didn't go out and send it. This guy had plenty of money. He didn't send a troop out to go get this guy. Did you notice that? He didn't send an army out, you know, to go get him. David, you know, David did that with his son only because his son became an enemy of the kingdom. And he said, "Don't try not to kill him." But the only reason David didn't send an army out after his son to try to redeem him. He basically was sending him out because he was an enemy of the kingdom at the time. So what you want to do is you want to pray, you want to trust God, you want to raise your family, you want to live with your family as a man of God. And you were not perfect. I just want to let you know. You were not perfect as a father. You were probably better than me, but you weren't perfect as a father. If you have, back to fathers, if you have a distant or a broken relationship with your father, and he's still alive, I told you what to do if he's dead, right? Forgive him. Let him go. Honor his memory to your family. You cursed him, now uncurse him. If your father is gone, and even if he's alive, you used to curse him, uncurse him. Redeem him to your family. Remember what I told you about the relationships? These are the first relationships that God created. These are the ones that are going to allow you to be a minister of the gospel to anyone else. Because this is your foundation. This is where you live. Your foundation, where you live, is your relationship with the people who are closest to you and who emotionally have affected you. Amen? So what you're doing now is you're going to uncurse everybody that you've cursed, especially your family, fathers, brothers, kids. Is uncurse them right now. And you're the dad in the family, so you're the example. I'm going to hold it on you. I'm going to put it on you. So you vocally, outwardly, familial, bring your family together and forgive your dad. Forgive your mom. Forgive your brother. Oh, that brother of mine, he's just such a jerk. Christian, man of God. You know, but at home, how are you? What's the story you're telling? Because it's okay to do that. You're telling your family, which you're sending out into the world, it's okay to do that. And so you now have perpetuated this cursing your enemies rather than blessing them, haven't you? You've perpetuated that to the next generation. Because you're going to be dead, and your kids are going to have that legacy on the inside of them, is that it's okay to curse those who cursed me or that made a mess of my family. It's okay to curse them. No. Get rid of it now. Fix it now. And then you are transforming the entire generation to come. Amen? I mean, we may not be done yet. We may have another 40 years. You never know. You don't know when Jesus is coming. He may not come just quite yet. Maybe He's waiting on you to redeem your family. Amen. So you release them right now, okay? So release them. God did that with me. You know, my dad and I were, my dad and I were separated for many, many years. But God said, go find him. And I knew where he was. But go build a relationship and make sure that he knows that you love him and that you forgive him for anything that was done or didn't work right. And we have a relationship now that is precious. At least I think so. I think he does too. So we're powerfully transformed and changed. And that's a testimony to the rest of my family. It's a testimony to all of my children. Testimony to my mom and to her husband today. I mean, we have no drama in our family. I mean, at least very not on that end, you know. We have no drama in our family. Thank God for that. That's just powerful. Amen? I mean, when we get together, you know, we don't complain about who prays or, you know. So, thank God. It's just powerful. It's fun. Amen? But I want you to do that. Just if you have that kind of a shadow or a something hanging over your family, take care of it today. I mean, you don't have to go to work today, most of you. Just make the call. Write the letter today. Separate yourself from anger, from hatred. See, these two, the dad for these two sons now is not trying to raise them, but now he's going to when they come to him. You notice they both come to him? The one comes to him after having, you know, just lost all the stuff. Lost all the winnings and all the money that was raised over all the years. The dad could have held that against him. Well, you know, look what you did. You just wasted your entire inheritance. You know, yeah, come on back in. Come on back in and you be a servant and that's what you'll be. Did the father say that? No. And I want you to know that's your father in heaven. In fact, he stood outside every day waiting for that boy to come back. Because he knew he was coming. He had an expectation that boy was coming back. Do you have an expectation? God has an expectation of you coming back because he loves you. He has an expectation. He's put his word out there. He put his promise out there. And he's got angels out there. And he's got believers out there. Everywhere. Where your kids are. Amen? He's got angels out there everywhere where your kids are. So you want to thank God that God's got agents everywhere. Amen? He's got agents everywhere who are bringing in the harvest. And if you can't be out there, thank God that he's out there. And you want to thank him for it. It's probably best that most of you don't go out and try to drag them back in anyway. Because then they'll know it's you and not God. You want them to know the Lord. You want them to have a relationship with the Father. When he came to himself, how many know there's an angel sitting right there next to him, you know, kind of sitting right there, hey, you thought about eating those husks? Yeah, but yeah, all of a sudden you think you're talking to yourself. It's the Holy Spirit, the living God talking to you. You thought about your dad? Well, you know, my dad's got... All of a sudden, he's putting thoughts in your head of how to get what, how he wants you to move next. And because you're in such a pickle, you're willing to listen. You're in such a pickle, you're in such a bad situation that you want to listen. Amen? Thank God. And then the other boy. You know, I've done everything. You know, all this stuff that he had done because he thought it was all about what he had done, that his father loved him. He thought if he hadn't done all that stuff, his father would not have loved him, would not have given him his portion of the inheritance. So we have two different ideas of how of the Father's love. But Jesus came to tell you that your Father in heaven, it's the Father himself who loves you. Amen? It's the Father himself who loves you. You know, it's the heart of the Father. He is not to punish me for my missteps, but he holds out the welcome mat and leaves the door open and watches for my return and receives me with open arms, gives me the best of the house, and defends me from those who want to reject me and exalt themselves. That's that older brother. So when I come back worthless and wounded at my own ability, God even protects me from those who would want to destroy me coming back in. Because his love is for me. Even though he loves that other brother, he loves me. So when you're coming back, the Father is out there. He's waiting. He's got that welcome mat out. He's ready to receive you. And it's not just your big life error. It's even the one you messed up yesterday. How many of you messed up something else yesterday? You know, boy, God's got to be mad at that. I mean, you know, he helped me once, but gosh. I mean, time after time after time. You know, how often did Jesus tell you to forgive? Remember? Up to seven times, Peter says. I say to you, 70 times seven. If your brother offends you, somebody offends you, up to 70 times seven. Well, that's impossible. Well, yeah. For you, but it's the Holy Spirit. It's God living on the inside of you. You are the Son of God. You are a son of God. You are a daughter of the King. Therefore, you don't worry about being offended or being hurt because God's already taken care of you. So you are out there to do one thing, is just be a demonstration of his love. And to bring somebody else into the kingdom of heaven, because this world's not going to last forever. This world is not going to last forever, and so we're doing as much as we can to load the boat. Amen? We're going to load the boat. We're going to get this thing full. Pack them in. Because this world's not going to last forever. And when it doesn't, everybody who's left behind is left behind because they refuse to receive a gift. And it's not, I'll do what God says because he's mean and he's bigger than me and I don't get to do what I want. No! Once you realize that what you wanted doesn't earn anything, it's like, I wanted to buy 15 of these. Well, yeah, but they spoil in an hour. You know, when you grow up, you find out there are things that you want to do because they last. And they produce and they reproduce. You find out God's way is better than your way. Amen? Yes, amen. It is just some notes that I make. We're all by nature self-righteous hypocrites. Remember the son? Remember son number one? We judge others and justify ourselves. Really, the father learned these things, I told you this a minute ago, as he was raising his sons. We all learn these things after we become adults through experience that we're not as perfect as we thought. We learn patience. We learn to forgive. How many people do that just in the natural, to be honest with you? They just get tired. You know? There are people who don't even know God, but they just learned how to quit working so hard. Because this is the nature of the world that we live in, is that you can't fix people. And if you figure that out, happy are you. You can't fix somebody. So you give it to God. You give it to God. This is the true mission of a father, to see the big picture and guide our children as children. And if we've earned their love and respect, we get to guide them as adults. Maybe it takes them going out and coming back. As a father today, I want to encourage you to rest. Don't be stressed. Amen? Your situation is different than mine. Your kids are different than mine. But we can walk together and know that we have a Father in heaven, a Father in heaven, who's not holding us in bondage and under the gun to be angry with us for messing up, but He wants for us and for our children the same that He wants for us, is to walk with Him and in His wisdom, to thank Him, to know that the gospel of Jesus Christ operates on the inside of us, transforms the world, and we're raising up a next generation of those evangelists. But we can't force it. We can't make it happen. What we do is walk in love. Over in, just quickly some things, over in Ephesians chapter 5, over in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Talking about relationships among the church. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch this. Submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. And then as a continuation of the same passage, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as to the Lord. So we're starting out here in this passage. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, and He's the Savior of the body. Therefore, the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their husbands and everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, verse 29, but nourishes it and cherishes it, even as the Lord does the church. So guys, you're loving your wives. Husbands, you're loving your wives. Look at chapter 6. Children, talking to children, they're all gone. Some of your children have still got parents. But the young ones, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is for all children. Honor your father and mother, which is the first command with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. That still applies. Honor your father. Honor your father and mother. Hebrews chapter 12 talks about chastising, that is, punishing or making sure that a child is corrected. All right? And, of course, Proverbs 13 and Proverbs 19. He that spares the rod hates his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him often. Proverbs 19:18. Chasten thy son while there is hope. That means early. Let not your soul spare for his crying. 2 Samuel chapter 7, the Lord is telling David about how he's going to work with Solomon after he's dead. I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. I will be his father, and if he commands and if he commits iniquity, that's how I'm going to treat him. I'm going to be his father. That's the promise of God for King Solomon to David. I'm going to be his father. You can be dead, but I'm going to be his father. So your children, make them that promise. God's going to be their father. Revelation 3, Jesus says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. God's doing mighty things. As a father, let the Holy Spirit guide you. Forgive your own father. Forgive yourself. Don't try to go back and fix your adult children. Love them. Give them the gospel. If you have your young children, chasten them early. Let them know that the Father in heaven loves them. Amen. Hope you got something today. Amen. God is doing great things in the earth. God's doing great things through the family, through the fathers. He created you as a father. So, it's not just an accident. Amen? Women, ladies, pray for your husband as a father. He's not just a dummy. He needs you to pray for him. He needs you to encourage him. Amen? You're not fathers. I know some of you had to be. But pray for him. Even the father who's gone now, who's maybe departed, but he's still your children's father. Pray for him. Amen. God is good. God is good. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you demonstrated to us that you wanted to be a father to us. You didn't want to be an angry judge, a God who came to take retribution on those who disobeyed your command. But you desired to have children that you had created. And you desired for us to know you and have everything that you had. To give us everything that you have. Even as you did that son who had spent it all. And Father, we thank you today that even though we spent it all, you have more. And we're walking in forgiveness today. We forgive our brothers, our sisters, our fathers, our mothers. We forgive them so that we can walk strong and clean. And we just give you all the praise today. Lord, minister to us by the Holy Spirit. Transform us and change us. Let us hear your word today. That word that you delivered to us, to me, individually. And use me for your glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.